Well, good morning. Good morning. How many of you know, how many know this verse? A lot of you probably know this verse. This is a great verse, and I'm glad that that this week we can memorize this verse. And how many, you see my, where's my name tag? Look at that. I got 5 stars. How many have 5 stars? Oh, we got a lot. We got a lot of hands up. All the girls in the front row, 5 stars. We got one over here, 5 stars. And so that's great, memorizing verses of the Bible. Well, let's say this verse together. And today, yesterday, we had a little quiz. I don't know if you liked it or not, but we're going to try a little bit of that quiz again. And we'll see how we do with that. For God, I'm going to say the verse first, and then you can repeat afterwards. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So let's say it together. Are you ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 16. Okay, very good. Now, does everybody understand this verse? What? Somebody can explain the verse to me. What does the verse mean? Just in a few sentences. What does it mean? Anybody say? No. How about an adult? What does the verse mean? Yeah, Josh.
Basically, A, B, and C. Well, if you've believed only on Jesus' blood to save you after having admitted before God that you're a sinner.
Very good. God so loved the world, he gave. He gave, what did he give?
Only begotten Son.
He gave his only Son. His only, you know, in the French Bible, I don't speak French, but people tell me this. In the French Bible, for this word, it says his only unique Son. His only very, very special Son. His one and only Son. That whosoever believes in him. How do you get everlasting life?
You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, very good. Okay, who wants to come up and pop one of those? Start in the front row. Only one today. Only one. Okay. Elise. Okay. Oh. Eleanor, she would like to do it too, but she's a little shy about that. Okay. Let's say it again. Ready? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Very, very, very good. Okay, second row. We got a lot of people in the second row. Who in this bunch of girls here have not? Let's see, I know a lot of them have. Alice should come up. I think Alice hasn't done it. Have Alice done it? No, she's afraid. She's got a little shy. Okay. That sounds good. Very, very good. Okay, let's say it again, nice and loud. This side, everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Now, let me ask some people, what is this word? Whosoever, what does that word mean? It's kind of a big word. Whosoever, what does that mean? Whosoever. It means everyone. Remember yesterday, all men must repent. Everyone, no matter where you come from, young, old, in between, someone like Eric and Harold, someone like Eleanor, or whatever your ages are, everyone can believe. So let's, are we popping or are we saying? I forget, I get mixed up. Okay, let's go to the third row. Who's going to pop on the third row?
Somebody go up.
Somebody. I think Derek did it.
These three girls, me, me, mine, oh. How about you in the middle?
She was hoping I was pointing to the next row behind her. Thank you. You pop two balloons. Okay, good job. Okay, let's say it again. Let's say it nice and loud and clear that everybody can hear it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Now the row, how about these two boys? Would you like to do it? Anyone right behind Josh, these two? Yeah, you two guys.
Okay.
This, how about this guy right here? Yeah, you can do it. He can do it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Let's go to the next row where John is and different ones. Here we got a hand up in the air. Come on up. You know, you can pop all the balloons.
Yeah.
I think he enjoyed that. Boom, 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 boom. Very, very, very good. Now, can anyone say that verse? You can stand up and say it. I think we got a lot of people that can say that verse. Probably a little shy. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him. Well, I really hope that there is someone, maybe that came here not believing, but now believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's time for the younger ones. 4, 5, 6. What's the ages?
4, 5, and 7.
Okay, let's have a little quiz together. So yesterday, we learned about Noah and the ark. The day before that, the woman at the well and the conversation Jesus had with them. And the day before that, we learned about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. So another quiz, 3 questions each, to the girls and to the boys. And let's see how this goes. So for the girls, what did Noah do in addition to building the ark? What did he do when people came to listen to him? One of the first slides we had, he was up there and he was amazing. Preaching. Very good. Okay. Very, very good. Preaching. Okay. So let's go to the boys. Now for the boys, in the lesson yesterday, after the ark was completed and all the animals were in the ark, what happened before the rain came? What happened? Or let me say it this way. Oh, you know?
Noah waited for a week.
Say it again?
Noah waited for a week.
He waited, waited a week. He waited 7 days. The door was open for people to come in for a week, for 7 days. Very, very, very good. Isn't that great? God didn't want anybody to perish. I didn't want anyone to perish. He waited 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, back to the girls. Back to the girls. How did that big door of the ark get closed? God shut the door. Yes, what a powerful verse. Chapter 7, Genesis, verse 25. God shut the door. Yes. Okay, back to the boys. Now, boys, in the first lesson that we had, see if you remember this. A little hard, a little harder today. You know, anybody know how many barrels of water they poured upon the sacrifice? A little harder. How many barrels were poured on top of the, a little harder. Anybody know? You don't have that many boys today. It's a little hard. Any of the girls know? Oh, Daisy. What? Six is correct. Six is correct. Okay, we have one question left for each of them. Very, very good. What did the woman, after Jesus spoke to her, what did she do after she was saved? What did she do right away? She went, what? She ran. What did she do? Let's go to the girls because she can answer the boys' question. What did the woman do right away? That's right. She went back to her village and told everybody about her. Okay, one more for the boys. One more for the boys. How many levels were in the ark?
Three.
Correct. Okay, very good. Okay, today we got a different lesson. I'm really pretty happy about these boys, Harold, and girls listening. So today our lesson is about how can we be saved. We've been talking about that all week long. We've been hearing these testimonies that have been really very, very good. I've known Eric for a while, and I know Darren for a while, and it's good to hear their testimonies. Today is how to be saved. And so if you have your Bible, take your Bible, if you have one, to go to John chapter 3. And really, we're going to look at one verse, John 3:16. And we are going to think together, John 3:16. And so this conversation you have here we have Jesus. And what time of day do you think it is? What's it look like? It's kind of evening, a little dark outside. And so Nicodemus, now let me tell you a little bit about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Jewish leader. He's one of the Sanhedrin. He's a very important Jewish leader. And a lot of the Jewish leaders did not like the Lord Jesus. In fact, they would conspire to kill the Lord Jesus. But he was one that was very interested. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know what was right. He knew that Jesus was a great teacher. And he wanted to ask some questions. Wouldn't it be great to be able to sit down and ask some questions you had to Jesus, to the second person of the Godhead, to the creator of all things, the one who created the heavens and the earth and the mountains and the stars and the planets. I was just telling Harold, we had a man come, a scientist, come to our church one time. His name was John Whitney. He's a very learned man about creation and planets. And I still remember today. He said, you know, some planets have 28 moons. He said, some of the moons on these planets, not two, we have one. Some have many. He said, you know, there's a rotation. The moons have a rotation. And some of them go clockwise. Some of them go counterclockwise. Some of them go this way.
They're all different. Sometimes there are seven that go one direction, seven go the other direction. And their orbits are different. One is a counterclockwise orbit, one's going in this direction, they're all going in all different directions, rotations are all different. And you say to yourself, how does it know all to keep straight so they don't collide into each other? It'd be great to talk to Jesus about how we create the worlds. So he had this conversation with him at night. Now, why do you think he came at night? Let me tell you, there's some people think he came at night because he was a coward. He didn't want people to see him talking to Jesus. You think that's what the answer is? You raise your hand. No, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the reason. Some people say he was afraid. Some people say, this is what I think, that Jesus was very busy during the day, and it was very hard to get a one-to-one. You read the Bible, there's always crowds of people around Jesus. Very hard to get a one-to-one sitting on a bench talking to Jesus for a long period of time. Well, that's what he did. He probably sent him a little note and put it in his memo and to make some time for him because he had a lot of good questions. So that's what happened. Now,
so they have in the very beginning, they have what we call a face-to-face conversation.
Nicodemus is a face-to-face conversation.
And one of the first things that Jesus mentions to him,
and this is part of the verse that's on the wall behind, the very first, how did he get saved? The very first thing we learn about getting saved, if I was to ask you, what is the very first thing? It's this. It's what's on there. And what's on that wall behind? God loved the world. You know, no one would ever be saved. No one would ever have their sins forgiven if God didn't love the world and send his son into the world. If Jesus never came, all be lost. Jesus never came to this world. He said, these people are so bad, I'm just going to judge the world and destroy the world. And he didn't love the world. So the very, very, very first thing that is so beautiful about this conversation they have is this face-to-face conversation. And the first thing he talks about is God loving us. Now, I want to share a verse with you. It's not on the screen. It's not on my computer. But in Romans chapter 5, in verse 8, it says this. It says, God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a beautiful verse. He demonstrated, he showed his love by going to the cross. God showed his love by sending his son. We are so, so, so thankful for the love of the Lord Jesus to us. But then there's a mind-to-mind conversation. So in the very, very beginning, they have a conversation. Face-to-face, they talk about a number of things. But then, there's this mind-to-mind conversation. You say, well, what is that? What is that, a mind-to-mind conversation? He begins to ask questions to Jesus in the first part. Now Jesus begins to ask questions to him. I'm not sure I like that too much. How would you like Jesus to ask you questions? When you go through the Gospels and you go to see the questions that Jesus asked, they are very interesting questions. Anyway, he begins to ask questions. And the first question he says to him, it may be a statement, it may be a question, but he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Verse 3, chapter 6, chapter 3 of John 3, he says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus doesn't understand this. Remember, it's a mind-to-mind understanding. He says, he's thinking to himself, he's thinking, how could a man go back into his mother's womb? How could he be born again? How could he be physically he's grown, how can he go back and be born again as a baby again? He can't understand it. He doesn't understand what Jesus is telling him. And then he also tells him,
this is a picture of faith, then.
He also tells him, the wind blows this way and that way, and no one knows which way the wind is going to blow. And he goes on to say, this is like how the Spirit of God works.
So he tells him he must be born again. He tells him he doesn't know how the wind, this is Florida. It's a hurricane. Anybody been to Florida in a hurricane? I've been through about 25 of these.
They're not all that bad, but
it's a hurricane. Wind blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. It's very strong. 140 mile an hour wind.
You don't know where the wind is going to come from. But you know that the wind blows. This is like the Spirit, Spirit of God. And he's beginning to tell them about how to be saved. So you must be born again. He says the Spirit of God is going to do a work in your life. And then he begins to talk about whosoever. You know, there's the idea between about the word we saw, whosoever believes on him should not perish. So whosoever means this, anyone, everyone, that God loves everyone. He's coming to the world to die for everyone. And whosoever believes on him. Now, what's so important about the whosoever? It's a choice. It's a choice. He's not making you become a Christian. He's not forcing you to become a Christian. He's offering to you the free gift of salvation. He's offering to you. He says, whosoever believes, whosoever takes this offer of salvation. You know, it's not a work. You don't have to do any work to become a Christian. Let me ask you, on Christmas morning, or on a birthday, when your mother or grandmother or whoever it may be gives you a gift, is it a work for you to receive the gift and open it and take it? No. But you have to do that. Someone said, water is a gift, but you have to drink it. Air is a gift, but you have to breathe it. Food is a gift, but if you don't eat it and take of it, it's no benefit. And that's what he's saying about the whosoever. The whosoever is you have to take of it. If you want to be saved, you have to take of it. He says, whosoever believes. And the idea is there's a free choice, and that free choice is taken up by people. And he says, if you take it, you shall not perish. There will be some that will perish. And he says, if you take that gift, you'll not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Now let's think together a little bit about everlasting life. When does eternal life begin? Does it begin when you get to heaven? You know, it begins right now. Eternal life, when you believe in the Lord Jesus, when you do the ABCs, when you admit that you're a sinner, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess, take of that gift of eternal life. That's when it begins. That's when eternal life, that's when salvation, that's when it begins, and it continues on into heaven. We have it forever. It's not just living for a long time, but it's a kind of life that we have. Eternal life is a kind of life that we have. It's a life with God. It's a life of joy. It's a life of blessing. It's a life of happiness in many ways. It's a kind of life that we have. Our sins are forgiven. We have the Spirit of God coming into us. There's a joy, there's a happiness, there's a transformation that takes place in our lives.
Harold talked about that. He talked about how he had become a Christian. He had become what he called a supposed to be Christian, but he wasn't a real Christian. We take of that and we become a real Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he has a heart-to-heart conversation with him. This is where it gets really, as a face-to-face, he's a mind-to-mind, he's a heart-to-heart. What do I mean by that? If you have your Bibles, in verse 9, chapter 3 of John, after Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, he says to Nicodemus, you must go back, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it will. He says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven unless you are born again. And Nicodemus is taking in all of this information. And when you get to verse 9, that's the most important part, verse 9 of this chapter. When he gets to verse 9, Nicodemus just sort of just throws out this question. And he says, how can these things be? How can it be? And then Jesus tells him three things. Three very, very, very important things in verse 9. He says, remember that it's true. Look what it says in our chapter 3. Right after he says that, he says in verse 13 about himself. He said, no one has gone up into heaven and come down back into heaven, back down to earth again, except the Son of Man. Now, you know why he's saying that? He's saying, what I'm telling you, Nicodemus, is a message from heaven. It's true. You can believe it, believe it, believe it, believe it. Because it is true. It's a message that comes from heaven. No one's gone up to heaven and come down from heaven. I have done that. I'm not just a prophet, I'm not just a teacher, I'm not a rabbi, I'm the Son of God himself. And these things I'm telling you are true. Isn't it great to know true things? There's a lot of lies in the world, a lot of lies in the world. This book is full of truth. What Jesus teaches is truth. So he tells him, what I'm about to tell you is the truth. And then he tells him something else. He says that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must Jesus be lifted up. What I'm telling you is true. What I'm telling you is that I must go to the cross and die on the cross for your sins. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 15 is very much like verse 16. It's almost exactly like it. It's like Jesus wants to tell us things twice. Maybe Nicodemus needs to hear it twice. Maybe we need to hear it over and over and over again. I needed to hear it over and over and over again. I heard the gospel over and over and over again. I think Eric heard the gospel over and over again. And then one day, and hopefully this is true of you, then one day, you're under conviction like Eric was, where God begins to work in your life. And this becomes very important to you. Verse 15. Whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so then he tells him John 3:16. Now, one thing's left out of verse 15. They're not exactly the same. They're almost exactly the same, but one thing's left out. The first part of John 3:16 is left out of John 3:15. And it's this: for God so loved the world. who loved you. That's an amazing thing that God would love us. It does. He loves us so much that he gave his only son. He gave his son to go to the cross. And one preacher said one time, if there's only one person on the earth, there's only David Dunlop on the earth, he would have died for one person. It was only Daisy. It was only whoever it was. One person. One of his creations. He would have died for that person. The Apostle Paul says, the Lord Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. And so we read that here. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, I trust that you believe in the Lord Jesus. Trust that there's a time in your life that you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to think, as we close our time, what does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe? And I want to think with you about that for a minute. Anybody know what this is? I think it's part of Canada. Maybe this picture is part of the U.S. I'm not sure. This is Niagara Falls. Who have ever been to Niagara Falls? It's a pretty, pretty fantastic place. The only thing I don't like about it, it's so commercialized. All these stores everywhere. And there's so many people you can hardly see everything. But it's pretty amazing. I just wonder if when people first discovered it, it's really a tremendous thing to see Niagara Falls. And years ago, some people like to go into a barrel and go over Niagara Falls. But we would think about faith. Now, there's a man, it's a true story. There was a man, his name was from France, Jean-Claude Rabelais. I'm not sure when this took place, in the 1800s. He was a tightrope walker. And he wanted to make a name for himself, so he was going to span a cable across Niagara Falls. Of course, if he fell in, it was the end of Jean-Claude. So he did this, and he advertised it. And there's crowds of people on either side of the river. They walked across it. And then, they say, pictures of this. They said he took some kind of stove and cooked pancakes when he was walking across this cable. I would have loved to see him doing this. That's what they have pictures in newspapers of what he did on top of Niagara Falls. Then he had the wheelbarrow. And he went across the Niagara Falls in the wheelbarrow. See all the people on some kind of bridge that they had watching this. But he came to the side. This is what faith is. Think about faith. He came to the side and he says, do you believe that I can take a person in a wheelbarrow across the falls? What do you think the people said? They all cheered and said, yes. We saw you cook pancakes. We saw you walk across the cable. We saw you with the wheelbarrow. And then he said this, who wants to be the first volunteer? See, that's what faith is. Trusting. You can believe something. So you can believe about Jesus, or you can trust him. You can trust him. That's what faith is. Believe. The Bible is filled with the word faith and the word belief. And believe on him. It's used over and over and over again. I think in John's gospel, over 100 times, the word belief is used. It's a very important word in the Bible. And it means this, to trust Jesus. To say, I'm not going to live my life. I think Eric said that. I'm not going to live my life anymore. Lord, I want you to lead me. I want to put my life in your hands. I believe in you. I don't want to live my life anymore. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. And so he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in
I trust everyone here. You may be an older person here. You might be in the back of the room. You might be in the front of the room. You might be a little one upstairs. Today is the day of salvation. If you've never taken that step of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe it today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Don't be too late in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. I was 21 years old. Harold was 7 years old. Eric, I'm not sure how old he was. Norma was younger, I think, than Harold. But don't wait so long. Don't wait. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit, A, that you're a sinner. Believe that Christ died and paid your penalty on the cross of Calvary. And then receive that gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, as many as received it, he gave the power to be the sons of God, those who believe on his name. If you haven't done that, do that today. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for the great truth of believing, of how to be saved. And Nicodemus, we know later on, he came and he believed on the Lord Jesus. And there at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was there. And Father, we pray that we will have in this room many, many followers. Many followers, not just attendees to DVBS, but in their lives will be many followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it looks like our brother Trevor is here. So, Trevor, why don't you start, please? Tell us today's story.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here with you again. And today's story is going to involve this rope. This rope is going to represent sin. And I have my wonderful assistant, Claire, here with me. And she's going to put her finger on this table. Now, this is Claire's finger. And this rope is representative of sin. Now, what sin does is it taps you. Sin always promises so much and takes away so much, but never returns anything. Now, Claire, without lifting your finger from the table, can you get your finger out of the rope of sin?
No.
She said no. And that's what sin does. It traps you. And it wants to put a web around you so that you can't get free and you stay addicted and you can't do anything. But Jesus told this story in John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And then the religious people answered him and said, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never, ever been in bondage to anyone. What do you mean we can be set free?" You see, they were making excuses and they were saying, "We're not in bondage. It's not a sin. I chose to do it. It's okay. It's legal. It's not my fault." And people come up with all sorts of excuses not to think that sin is as bad as it is. But if she couldn't get her finger out before, she'll never get her finger out now. And the Bible says, though, Jesus would go on and say, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the son, he abides in the house forever. Therefore, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And when you trust in Jesus as your savior, he takes the web of sin from around you. He takes it, and it's there. It looks complicated. It looks very difficult, and you can't get out of it. But when Jesus sets you free, he sets you free indeed. And Jesus can free you from the penalty of sin. And the wages of sin is death. He can free you from that because he paid the price. He can free you from the power of sin so that sin no longer has dominion in your life. And little by little, it all disappears. And beloved, one day when you get to see Jesus face to face, you're going to be free from the very presence of sin altogether. He's the one that can completely free us from sin to abide with him in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord bless you this morning.
Amen. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And that's marvelous. So praise the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll have our snack, then we'll have our activities. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that God is gracious to us and knows how to set us free. And we pray that you'll just bless us. We thank you. We know that sin is bad, Lord. And sometimes big problems arise. And I just heard today about a friend of mine who has a friend who's had some real tragedy in his life. And Lord, we thank you that regardless of our circumstances, if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he will help us in our trials, but one day he'll take us to heaven. And we get excited about that. Lord, we want to go to heaven. So we pray each of us will be freed from sin and that the blessing of God will be upon us. So thanks for your kindness. Thanks for the provisions. Thanks for the food. And we give thanks for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. Well, we're going to go again by row. And so Chu and the girls will go first. And